Welcome to The Grow Show, powered by Steel. On The Grow Show, we share ideas, tips, tactics, and insights to help you grow your landscaping business based on our team's 40 years of experience running a landscaping company and working with other owners and their teams to do the same. New episodes are released weekly on Wednesdays. Here's your host, Marty Grunder.
Well, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever the case may be. This is Marty Grunder from Grunder Landscaping Company and The Grow Group with another exciting edition of The Grow Show powered by Steel. I am very excited to have our guest on today. Ryan Hawk is with us. Ryan, welcome to The Grow Show.
Marty, it's great to be with you, man. Thanks for having me.
Of course. A big fan of yours. So cool to have you on. I have promoted your show, The Learning Leader Show, to our followers. So some of you may already listen to Ryan, and you're going to get a kind of an inside view as to who Ryan is and what he's all about. But Ryan, you have one of the top podcasts in the country. It's called The Learning Leader Show. And why don't you tell us a little bit about this show, why you started it, how it came about? You've recorded over 550 episodes. Where did the idea come for The Learning Leader Show? Tell us what you're doing.
Well, thank you, man. I was working in corporate America. I just finished getting my MBA. This was about 9.5 years ago. My company reimbursed me for that. So I, in a way, felt like I was wasting money if I didn't go back to school, even beyond my MBA. However, I didn't love every element and aspect of earning my MBA. You didn't get to really get to pick your courses. You didn't get to pick your teachers. They said, if you want to get this certificate, you got to take these classes. So I was wondering if there's a better way to create my own form of a leadership PhD program where I got to choose all of my professors and talk about the things I'm most curious about. And I was a big podcast listener at the time. It was a little early, but I still love long form interviews, like listening to people follow their curiosity. I enjoy doing that as a listener and decided to do it myself as the host. And so that, I had no ambition to really do anything other than just create a platform where I could have really interesting conversations and maybe other people would listen to and they would like it as well. But really, it was a selfish act. It was for me. No intentions of ever leaving my job. I loved my team, loved my company. I loved everything I was doing. But in 2017, towards the end of that year, after I've been doing it for a few years, the market had kind of spoken and let me know that there was a lot of opportunities out there to advise, speak on stages and help other companies with their leadership development that I thought, you know, I'd probably regret not giving that a go. I could probably always go get a job in sales, which is what I was doing, but I don't know if I could always go start my own business and do now what's it's crazy that Marty, it's been like 6 years since then.
I feel like I just did it yesterday.
So, right. But yeah, I just followed out of kind of following what I'm most curious about. And fortunately enough people liked it at least that it's created a business for me.
Oh, it's amazing. And Ryan, you were very kind when we wanted to start our own podcast. And I don't really, you know, to me, like calling your thing a podcast is like undervaluing it. I mean, it is a real live media production. You do a wonderful job. You remind me of, you have interview talents that are off the charts. You do such a great job. Some of the guests that you've had are just, I mean, they're amazing. We'll delve a little bit more into that. Tell us a little bit about yourself. I know you're a proud father, a great husband. Tell us a little bit about yourself and your family.
Yeah, I think that's actually probably as funny as having dinner with one of my daughters the other night. And we were talking through, you know, it's a funny one, but you know, kids, teenage girls say the weirdest things. They're like, you wonder how much money you would have if you didn't have all these kids and everything going on because of private schools and sports. And you know, you're a dad, you understand right. The cost. And I actually said, you know what? I don't think any of this would have happened if I wasn't a husband to Miranda and to a dad to all of you girls.
Yeah.
I truly, and I'm sure you feel this way too, I truly believe that they are the reason that I feel super inspired and motivated to do what I do.
Amen.
And so in a way, I think that's kind of where everything starts. Like if you don't have, and I know you obviously have one too, my family has been impacted by your amazing wife as a teacher for one of my daughters.
Wow. But I
think that's where it starts, having a supportive person who truly believes in you and believes in what you want to do, especially in my case, walking away from, you know, those corporate right. VP jobs, they give you options, yeah. They give you big salaries and bonuses, all this stuff. I walked away with leaving a lot of that on the table with no guarantee that this would work. And to have someone who didn't even blink and said like, of course, like
right.
I I think she believes in me more than I believe in me. And I think that's Miranda I'm talking about. I think that's really important. And then when your kids, you feel, I think as a dad, and I don't know, moms probably feel this way too, but I just feel like this huge desire to be, one, modeling the way. So showing them the way that we should be in the world, as well as then being a provider. And so I think about that every day of how to show up in a way that I'd be proud of, that they'd be proud of me, of how I'm behaving, as well as then you got to go out and earn money, because life's expensive when your kids go to school and play sports and need to eat. So that's something I also think about all the time.
Yeah. Well, you know, you have all girls. I had all boys except for three is how I describe it. I heard Lou Holtz say that one time. So I stole that. I guess we probably should be grateful that I only had the one boy. You don't have any boys, because boys eat a lot more than girls.
Oh, I know, man. I know. I see my nephews all the time, man. It's different. There's a big difference, but it's so much fun.
So speaking of boys, you have a famous brother, AJ Hawk, who's a Super Bowl winning linebacker from the Green Bay Packers. They're all time leading tackler. He's on with Pat McAfee. But you have an even more famous father in my mind, and I know you have another brother as well. I play golf with your dad a few times a year. He's known as Keith. Close friends and his family refer to him affectionately as Pistol. Tell us what Pistol has meant to you in your life and what you've learned from Pistol.
Everything. Honestly, everything. I get emotional just thinking about it. I mean, it truly, and the cool thing is we still get to have these conversations every day, almost every day, I would say.
Right.
Despite him, you know, now having this deep passion for golf and being with the guys out at NCR Country Club, and then going down to Florida when it's cold up here in Ohio and doing the same thing. I think just first and foremost, how to treat a woman. I see how he treats my mom to this day and does everything for her. I think that's very important as a dad of boys. And I also think it's important as a dad of girls. I try to do the same thing. And just really, leadership is about modeling the way. And so leadership's more caught than taught. I know that's been said by Ken Blanchard and others, and I believe that. So I think just the way he showed up to work, the way he showed up to our games, the way he showed up in the backyard when we want to throw, when he wants to rebound or taking free throws, when he wants to, basically everything. I mean, presence, presence, is far more useful and important than your presence that you give them for birthdays and holidays and things like that. And I think he modeled that too and still does. And so to me, I just think I could list off 100 things of what he's done and currently does as a way to treat people the right way, as a way to work really hard, as a way to provide for your family, as a way to treat your wife, as a way to raise kids, like all those things that we're now as husbands and dads that like we're the huge benefactor from having seen that and currently still do see it. And that's a motivation for us, I think, to pass it on and to hopefully do the same for our kids.
You know, I know this probably sounds like I'm patronizing you, but I love your dad. I'm positive that you've read How to Win Friends and Influence People by Dale Carnegie. And like, your dad just has natural connection talents, and he's got kids that have done amazing things. And he's obviously a very proud father. When I ask him about you or your family or the grandkids or anything, he tells me things, but he doesn't lead with it. He always leads with, how are you? And he's just someone that you always feel better when you're in your presence. Not to mention the fact he was a heck of a sales leader for LexisNexis for forever, and still to this day speaks and helps and coaches with sales management and leadership. And I just think it's really cool. I'm hopeful that all of our followers here on The Grow Show, powered by Steel, will listen to your show. The best ones, folks, is when Ryan brings on his brother, AJ, and his dad, Pistol. And I think you do that once a year, right?
We do it every 100th episode. So
100th episode,
every 100th
right.
episode. So, you know, like a 400, 300, 400, 500. So the 600 would be coming up, and I'd have to do the math, but sometime next year. So we do it. We gotta try to keep making it interesting. So it's a fun connect.
Yeah,
you know, fun way to connect. Because it's funny when you talk to like your loved ones, you end up, and when you record with them, you end up maybe asking them questions or talking about things that you don't talk about if you're not recording it. So I actually give that advice to anybody, especially if they're very lucky like I am to have an amazing mom or dad or more than that. Just record the conversations, like ask to interview them and record them. You'll be grateful that you had those at someday. I'm glad
what
I have them.
Great idea. Yeah. I hope everyone is a wonderful idea.
Yeah, even if it's not a podcast, just record the conversations and go into it with but treat it as an interview, like questions that you want to ask them that are interesting, like even about their upbringing, about what their child was like, especially my daughter's hearing about how my dad grew up, and now they're all, you know, our kids are spoiled and stuff. And so they get to hear them being poor and not having anything. Like, it's wild to even think of that. But I mean, there's so much to learn from those conversations. I think everybody should do it.
All right. Well, this is a really good segue. So it's absolutely brilliant what you've done. You start interviewing leaders from all walks of life, all parts of the world, and you summarize a lot of what you learned and from what you learned in your own successful corporate career. And you wrote your first book called Welcome to Management. And I unfortunately told you I left my books at my mother-in-law's house in Florida. So if you have a copy of them around there, you can hold them up. Welcome. So this book is fantastic, folks. Everybody watching should go get Welcome to Management. That was your first book. Where did the idea come from that book? And what can someone gain from reading that book? Share us some wisdom that's in that book.
I mean, I wrote it for myself, for my previous self. When I got promoted to management, I was not prepared. I mean, I think a lot of people, when you get promoted for the first time, you're not. I was a sales rep. It went pretty well for a few years. And I think partially I got promoted because the person making the decision was somebody who had known me for a long time and valued what I brought from a leadership perspective on the football field. He'd watched me play growing up and in high school and college and said, "You're going to be one of my managers one day." And it's Rex Caswell. I owe everything to Rex. I love Rex. I just had dinner with him a week ago and it was just the best. And I think I'm very grateful that he let me learn on the job. But, you know, I messed a lot of things up because I just wasn't really ready to go. So Welcome to Management is really about like that Welcome to Management moment. You probably have lots of them. And I opened the book with one of those when a woman in her mid-40s, you know, I'm in my mid-20s. A woman
love this story. And I can't imagine how you felt this day.
Well, I mean, I completely fumbled it, right? I mean, she's crying in my doorway and walks in, shuts the door and tells me that her husband has cheated on her and he wants a divorce. And she's telling like a 27-year-old idiot this, and I'm supposed to know the answer, right? And I think that's when I called my dad afterwards. In fact, he said, "Welcome to management. Like, this is part of the deal." And I go, "I would never tell my boss that." And he's like, "She's not you, right? You have to realize you have all different types of personalities working for you, and your job is to get to know all of them as individuals and love them and take care of them and do whatever you can for them, right? You're asking a lot of them. You have high standards." And so all of that, like, I didn't realize all of the things that went into it. So Welcome to Management was like a series of, here are ways you can be much better prepared when you go into a leadership role than I was. So hopefully you don't make nearly as many mistakes. You still probably will make a few because, you know, we're all learning as we go.
Right.
But hopefully you'll be much better prepared. So it's for the individual contributor who wants to like get promoted. It's for the newly promoted person. I wrote it with the thought of somebody getting promoted for the first time, shaking hands, congratulations, and then they also hand him this book, right? They're, here you go. So I think that's like, that's what I hope for. And I'm fortunate that, you know, people seem to like it. It's much like the podcast. And that's kind of cool to see. And I think it's generated a lot of work for me for within organizations because it's just an area where people, where companies and people really struggle.
Yeah. So I feel, you know, the book is excellent, excellent read. I feel, and I hate to say this because it kind of maybe in some ways makes me sound like a grumpy old man, but I feel like soft skills are something that the younger generations really struggle with. And what is your feeling there? So Welcome to Management. What specific advice, what are a couple little things you can share with the new manager or the aspiring manager that can help them be a better leader?
Well, I mean, a few things. People don't, as you know, the old adage, like they don't care what you know until they know that you care about them. So what can you do to prove and show that you care about your people? A simple getting to know you exercise that has nothing to do with work, that's all about them. And I have a series of questions I ask, and these exercises I really ran as a manager once I learned what I was doing, that create these like bonds amongst you and your team members. So you're proving that you care because you're getting to know them, their aspirations, you know their family. You actually want to have an understanding of what they're all about and what they desire. Right. And I think you also have different types of one-on-one meetings. Certainly the ones in sales where I worked, where you are focused on, okay, here's the current state of where we're at with our number and our opportunities and how we're going to get those to close. But completely separate one-on-ones that are all what I would call developmental coaching conversations. This is all about them and their career and the skills they need to develop and how I can help them or connect them with people that can help them to get to where they want to get. So they know, like, my manager actually cares about me and my career. He knows that I'm not going to be with him forever. In fact, he has a lot of pride in me getting promoted into whatever job I want. And so I never viewed the people, I still don't, the people I work with that I'm going to work with them forever. I actually view it like they should outgrow me. And if I do a good job, they will get promoted. And that's something that as I got much more experience as a leader, we started literally listing names of people that worked on our team and now where they currently work based on their promotions, even if it was outside of our company. And so what happened, Marty, is as you know from hiring people, that created this recruiting machine. Everybody wanted to come work on our team. They saw what happened if you go there and you do good work for a few years, you're going to get somewhere else that you want to go. And so whereas some managers would try to, at the end of the book, I had called the high performers paradox. A lot of managers, they want to just hang on and don't let their people go anywhere. Like, no, you got to stay. Whereas I try to do the opposite. I'm like, hey, we're going to go hard for a few years and then you're going to go somewhere else and I'm going to help you. They view that, I think, as like, oh, that because that's what I wanted when I was a rep. And I felt like I didn't get it. Like I wanted that. And that I had some managers that like wanted to hold on to you because you put up 160% percent of plan every month. Well, they don't want to lose that. When I think that's short-term thinking, longer-term thinking is let's help our people get to where they want to go. That will attract all of the top people to want to come work for a team. And then the flywheel really spins. It's harder in the short term, better in the long term. And I just better from a leadership perspective because it's trying to help people get to where they want to go, even if it's to leave you at some point.
That is great wisdom. Are you familiar with who Ralph Nader is?
Yeah.
So Ralph Nader has a wonderful quote. And he says, the function of leadership is not to create more followers, it's to create more leaders. And that's what you're talking about, Ryan. And I think in today's Twitter world and social media world, we get, and there's, you got to have followers. I understand that. But at a certain point, it's about turning other people into leaders. And you were a tremendous college football player. In fact, you know, kind of a pretty good football player named Ben Roethlisberger. You were kind of the backup there, right? And then you went someplace else and had a great career at Ohio University, even played professionally. You know, that whole perspective there, I can see some things as I listen to you and we kind of turn the tables because I'm used to you interviewing and I'm nowhere near as good of an interviewer as you are. But I'm seeing, like, I'm learning more about you as to why you're so successful. Welcome to Management was written for the aspiring leader or the one that wants to get better. That book did so well. You did something that many authors can't do. You got another book that's come out. And we got a third one we'll talk about when we finish up that I want to give a plug for. But the second one was The Pursuit of Excellence. Tell us about that book. If you have a copy there, can you please hold it up? Thank you, Ryan. Another wonderful book. What's the story in The Pursuit of Excellence?
So the first one's Lead Your Team, Build Your Team. I'm sorry, Lead Yourself, Build Your Team, Lead Your Team. And I felt like there was so much more in that lead yourself section that I had to cut. And it was really good stuff that is really all about like the pursuit of excellence of for yourself for then ultimately the benefit of others. So it's a combination of things that I've learned in my own life as well as all of the interviews from guys like James Clear and Morgan Housel and Cat Cole and these amazing leaders of the habits and the routines and the rituals and what they do in each of their daily lives combined with what I do. So it's just a way of living. I think it's really about what can I do today to implement so that I'll be better tomorrow, both for myself and for others. I think you got to lead yourself first. So it's really more of a way of life book. It's less niched, you know, like Welcome to Management is a very specific moment in your career. And The Pursuit of Excellence is more of just like a way of thinking, a way of life.
Right.
And we're talking about the third one later, which is more a fun way of, I think, creating the foundational elements for how to live a life of excellence. So it's almost like a sequel to it, but written with an amazing teacher where I actually had to play the role of a student. So I'll hold off and wait until you ask about that. But they all kind of go together in a unique way. And so, to me, though, writing and publishing books is just the ultimate form of to gain clarity of thought. And that's one of the primary reasons I do it because it's so hard. And I think it's useful as a leader, though, to get very clear on what you believe. And one of the best ways to do that is to write.
I mean, basically, Ryan, I don't know of too many best-selling business book authors and other authors, for that matter, that haven't been on the Learning Leaders Show. when you talk about rituals and the tactical side of your daily quest towards success, I know that you have a ritual. I'm sure you do. What have you learned? Like, what could you share from a tactical perspective that would help our listeners get better, like right now? Like, what are things you would recommend they do tomorrow?
Oh, gosh. I think it's funny. I just had Hal Elrod on talking about this, but the morning routine stuff is kind of got beaten into people's heads over the last few years. But the reason that I think it has is because it's true, which ultimately starts the night before. But I think the commonality among people who have sustained excellence over time is that they win their mornings. And so finding a way to win them in your own way, like for me, that involves a very physical process. Like I need to punish my body physically in the gym, running, whatever it takes, because it's my background comes from these amazing coaches who did that for me when I was growing up in high school and college. And so I've just continued to do that. I also think, you know, you only get one body. So let's try our best at least to make it healthy, which I try to do. So to me, it's like finding a way to win the morning. So whatever that is for you, and I think this is very a personalized thing. It doesn't mean you got to do the same things I do. It's like, what is it in your day that after you do it early in the day, you feel like you've won? And so some people, it's as simple as making the bed. Some people, it's journaling and writing. It's meditating. It's a spiritual practice, or all of the above, whatever. In my case, it usually involves some quiet time and silence, a little bit of journaling, some reading, and then a demanding workout physically. And I've won by the time I put Charlie on the bus at 8:06 in the morning. I've won. And so that helps then propel me into the workday and is just really important to me. So I think anybody could figure out, like, how can you win your morning? And if you need to read other books and other get ideas, but ultimately it's got to be personal for you. But that's probably one thing I would say.
Yeah. You know, you mentioned making your bed. That's General McChrystal, who wrote the foreword for your first book. That's one of his mantras, is it not?
Yeah, actually, Admiral William or McRaven.
Admiral William, that's right.
McRaven did the speech at University of Texas.
I'm getting them mixed up. That's right.
Those guys get mixed up a lot. So yeah. I've mixed them up before too. But yeah, they're and McChrystal has his own crazy stuff too that I love. But yeah, I mean, they're, you know, very regimented, very routine oriented, and those guys have done what they've done for good reason.
Yeah. So who is your favorite guest of all time that you've had on the Learning Leader Show, and why is that?
It's kind of impossible, man. Who's your favorite kid? You
know? I know. Yeah, right.
It changes by the day.
Mention a few of them.
Yeah, I mean, that's tough. You mentioned McRaven and McChrystal that just came up. Those are two that almost always pop into mind, mainly because I would expect them to have massive egos. Okay, McRaven planned and helped execute the Bin Laden raid. Like, he's the guy. He was in charge of that. He's the guy who was talking to the president to make that happen. And his guys went and did it. And he described that in detail, like on my podcast. I couldn't believe it when it was happening, when he was describing the planning, all of the training. Like, they built up that house at a place where these guys went and did it. And I remember specifically in the moment I said, what did you do, man? Like, what was it like after they bring the body back and you unzip the thing and you looked at him and you're right there? And he goes, I had 10 other missions going on. I had to get back to work. And it just blew my mind. Like, you get the number one guy we want to get. And he immediately, he's in the middle of the night too. He immediately goes back to work. And it just is a reminder to me, like, regardless of what you think you accomplish, get back to work. Like, get back to work. And I think McRaven's great for that. McChrystal, just another story on him, invited me to go to Gettysburg. He teaches a class at Yale, and he takes them to Gettysburg once a year. And he invited me to go as one of his guests. He had three guests. He had me, he had the special forces guy from overseas, and he had the president of the Cleveland Clinic. So, like, he actually introduced us all. I was like, here are my friends. Right. And I've never felt more imposter syndrome in my life when I was like, and he's like, and here's this other random guy next to these distinguished people. So anyway, but he did that, and he's like doing this walking tour when we went from battlefield to battlefield. He is teaching and sharing. It blew me away. Just super humble. We did a run all the way around, which I did with him, like tried to keep up with him, which I couldn't. You know, all this, like I just found both of those guys, they're very humble, great storytellers, very giving, and have accomplished so much. So there are two. I'll name one more, Marty, for you. Obviously, like I've had my wife on, I've had my dad and brother on. They're, you know, you got to name them. But I'll name one other one that's beside them that I've had on twice, and that's Cat Cole. Kat Cole, amazing story. I got to record in person with her in Atlanta in front of an audience at Insight Global. That was really good. I think Kat's story of growing up very poor, being a Hooters waitress, learning all the jobs, being sent literally all over the world because she brought excellence to every job she did. So they asked her to open up new restaurants all over the place. And now she's a shareholder in many companies and the COO and on the board of Athletic
Greens. Amazing lady.
Yeah, so good. And I talk to my editor all the time. I'm like, all right, what clips do we have? What clips can we get from this episode? Kat Cole is in that rarefied air along probably with James Clear and maybe a couple others, but they're like right there. Yeah. That every time they speak could be clipped. Every single answer.
Right.
It's like, just clip the whole thing. I mean, it's that good.
Right.
And that's pretty rare. So
I've never listened to a bad episode. Maybe because I know you and I know your father. I really like the one when you bring your brother and your dad on. But my absolute favorite episode that you've ever done is the one you did with the late, great Clay Mathill, who passed away in August of this year. And it was so good. And I don't know if you know this or not, but his son, Mike, who's a good friend of mine, he recently posted that on LinkedIn. And it was just cool to watch it again and to remember all the things we learned from a good man. Many of our followers here on The Grow Show, Powered by Steel, they know about Clay and he made an impact on them. We had Clay at Grow, our annual event that we do, and you just did a great job extracting from him the lessons, and you're just an awesome interviewer. I got a long way to go to get as good as you are. So,
man, that one with Clay was, I'm so glad we did it. I'm glad we brought the video crew. I'm glad we did we did it in his office. We're actually going to do it outside there at Aileron, but it was raining. So we went in his office. I'm glad it did. I mean, and the cool thing about that one, after he died, I had so many members of his family and just people in the community go back and watch that and reach out. I went back and watched it and I'm just very proud of that. Like, this is why we should document our lives. Like, we should all be doing this, record those conversations with people you love. But that one was neat. It also shows the type of impact that a guy like Clay had, that so many people wrote these long, heartfelt emails to me saying, they were so grateful. Thank you. Thank you for getting that on tape. Thank you for And I felt like so not worthy of even being in the room. Now being attached to an interview that it seems like his family really enjoys and loves and his friends and the people that have been impacted. Like, I wasn't fully aware of like how many deep long form interviews he'd done. And apparently there aren't a ton of them. And so I'm just proud that we did it and that it turned out so great and that he was so present and wanted to do it and like really cared about doing a great job when he could do whatever he wants. And so that one I'm very proud of. I'm glad you brought it up. I appreciate that.
Well, it's really cool. You know, Clay was a private guy and it was never about him. It was about everybody else. And you captured him in a way that, you know, is really, really nice memory. I've watched it three times since Mike posted it in the last few weeks. It's just been very impactful to me. Clay was, you know, Ryan, not to get too sappy, but I wouldn't have what I have if it weren't for Clay. I mean, he just was. You know, I graduated from the University of Dayton, degree in business, but I learned a lot more from Clay. And it wasn't just his direct lessons. It was all the indirect things that you learn, you know, from his school Aileron to just watching how he operated. Because really, Ryan, once you get over the enormous, incredible personal and financial success he had, he did a lot of things that are really pretty easy to understand. He just was, you know, you mentioned about having a ritual. I mean, he was very structured in everything that he did in business. And he ran a filter through everything. I mean, the amount of discipline and stuff that guy had was just amazing.
That's so cool to hear. And I mean, he built up an entire place, an entire campus for people to go and study leadership and learn.
Right.
What a legacy, man. Like, what a cool... I don't know if there's a cooler thing you could do. No. I mean, that would be at the top of my list of like, if you made $1 billion or whatever, what would you do? And he's like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to build this giant campus that is so meticulously thought out when it comes to even the winding roads when you drive in and the makeup of the rooms and the dream room and the clouds and then the water so that you can have go on walks. Like, the whole thing is so well thought of that we're just lucky, man. We're just lucky that it's here and that a guy like him would have a vision like that and then to execute it and then build a great team to run it. I've been there, I don't even know how many times. And it's just, it's awesome. It's cool. Like, I'm grateful that that people like him exist, man. He's just the best.
You know, there's a proverb, and I often attach it to Clay, and it says, you know, feed a man a fish, feed him for a day, teach a man to fish, feed him for life. And Clay taught people how to fish. Yeah. And there's a stock pond out there at Aileron that you can fish in.
So good.
So we got a few more minutes here. Let's talk about the new book that you have coming out March the 24th. I've already gone on Amazon and put my order in. I think that's when it's coming out, right?
Yeah, 26. Yep.
26. Yep. Sorry, yep. Off a couple
You're
days.
You're good.
It's called The Score That Matters, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And you co-authored it with a local legend, Brooks mm-hmm. Cupps, mm-hmm. who is an incredible basketball coach.
Yep.
His son is a freshman, I believe, at Indiana right now. Mm-hmm. Tell us why that book, what it's all about, and why readers should go put a pre-order in for it.
Yeah, I've been working with Brooke. He asked me to speak to his leadership group five years ago now. I went and spoke. I didn't hear of him. I didn't know who he was. I went and spoke, and I was just I was caught off guard by how much I just liked being with him and his presence and the way he carries himself, the way that he's solely values driven, and everything revolves around that. Tough, passionate, unified, thankful. Everyone who follows Centerville basketball knows everything about tough, passionate, unified, and thankful. I mean, it's weird that somebody knows, so many people know his values more than they know their own. And so to me, I just wanted to be more like that. I want to be more values driven. When I did my first values exercise, I had 20 of them. As you know, Marty, that's not going to cut it. If your business has 20 priorities, you have none.
Yeah.
You gotta narrow those things
narrow
down.
It.
So I worked with him over the course of years to narrow those down to thoughtful, thankful, curious, and consistent, and to get my behavior sets aligned with what I valued most, of what it means to be a thoughtful and a thankful person, and what it means to be curious and consistent. We talked about habits and routines, right? Consistency showing up, right? Leading with curiosity that's led to all the greatest opportunities in my life, to create silence in my day, be a really thoughtful person, to be grateful because I've been given so much. I literally was born sliding into home plate, you know, well beyond third base. And I think being aware of that is useful, as well as it's inspiring to not waste any of that great privilege, to make the most of it. And hopefully that impacts other people in a positive way. So I've gotten so much more clear because of Brooke and because of all of the thousands of hours, I feel like, of conversation, not only with him, but some of the people in his inner circle, his foxhole guys, as he calls them. And I just thought, like, we sat down 2 years ago. We wanted to create an online course about building like the foundational elements of your life. We sat right where I'm at right here, and I brought in a big video, guys. And at the last second, I thought of it, you know, I should actually have this live transcribed, like they do in like the courtroom, right? Have somebody there to transcribe everything that we're saying. So I brought in one of my friends, Dan Smith. He sat right next to us. He typed out every single thing we said. And afterwards, I reviewed the transcription, looked at the videos, all of it, and thought, this is a book. This is a book. This is too good. And mostly because of Brooke. But that after we got done and after I read it, I asked him, like, what do you want to write this book? I think at first he laughed. He's like, there's no way. I said, I truly believe it could be good if we could help other people do the things that you've helped me do. So you get this unique perspective of a teacher and a student writing a book together is kind of cool. And we have different sections that are RH and BC. So like some personal things that we write that are from both perspectives, but the overwhelming majority of the book is written from both of us. And we send drafts back and forth for years and finally got it to a place where we're able to turn it in. And now it's being printed literally as we speak. So yeah, I mean, I think it's really about your core values and living those out. And there's tons of exercises and things that build upon that, but that's what it really is at its foundation.
Yeah. Well, Ryan, you're an inspiration to me. I aspire to get as good at this stuff in this particular genre that you're operating as you are. We're just about wrapped up here. I want to ask you one last question. And we talked a lot about leadership. What is Ryan Hawk's definition of leadership?
The art of getting people to want to do what must be done. So that comes from Jim Collins. So the art of getting people to want to do what must be done. So think about it. You got to break down that sentence. It sounds very simple, but it's not. So the art, there's art and science to it, but I think there's like artists all have their own unique way of how they approach their art, writing, speaking, influencing, inspiring people, like whatever your art is, right? So it's the art of getting people, right? So this is motivating, inspiring, getting other people to want to do so that they want to do it, not me, they want to do it. What must be done. And this last part's really important that a lot of us mess up. And you know, from running a business, like you make strategic plans, you have to make decisions, what must be done, you have, as the leader, you have to make the choice. Like, what are we actually doing here? What must be done? And if you make the wrong choice, you guys and your team could be climbing the wrong mountain.
Right.
So that one simple sentence encapsulates so much when it comes to leadership, even though it sounds really basic, with the art of getting people to want to do what must be done. Well, yeah, you had to do all of that. All of that part is what leadership's all about. And that is really, really hard to get it all right all the time. And most of us mess up. That's why we got to be listening to podcasts and listening to you and going to your conference and reading books, right? Because it's hard to get all of those things right. So to me, I'm always thinking about the art and of getting people to want to do it and then making sure I know what must be done. And again, to get it all right is not easy, but it's a really fun and cool challenge that, again, I know you are working through every single day.
Yeah. Ryan, it's been an absolute pleasure to have you on. How can people get a hold of you? How do they get your books? Is Amazon the best track? Social media? Give us a little commercial, because I know people, I know my tribe, and they're going to want to be in contact with you.
Nice, man. Thank you. Learningleader.com is kind of the home for everything. Yeah, I think Amazon's probably the easiest place to buy books. If you're going to buy books, Amazon. But my podcast, The Learning Leader Show, is on all the platforms that people listen, Apple, Spotify, all the places. But yeah, learningleader.com kind of has it all right there. I try to have one home base.
Perfect. And you know, you all got to see Ryan here. You can see why he's a very successful professional speaker. I don't really call you a speaker. I call you a teacher. You're a great teacher. You're much more than a speaker. And we're so glad that we had you on today. Looking forward to that new book. Good luck with the March release. And obviously, if there's anything the folks here at the Grow Group can do to help promote you, let me know. And I'm hoping I can twist your arm and get you back on here sometime next year as well, because we could talk for days. I just respect so much what you're doing and your efforts you're making to try to help people.
Thank you, Marty. I told you I've looked up to you for a very long time, man. So when you reached out and we got a chance to have lunch and talk, I was blown away and still am. And so I'm super grateful for you and all that you've done. I think you don't fully realize how many people you've inspired. We read the newspaper articles. We heard about Marty Grunder, all the stuff you guys, like you were like a case study at Centerville High School for all of us, thinking like, could we do that? No, that's probably not possible, but still inspired by that guy. Well, it's wild. So like when we first had a talk, to me, it was a really cool moment. And now that we've become friends, it's like, oh, that's one of the neatest things about, you know, doing work like this is sometimes it gives you a chance to meet people that you've really, really looked up to and then become friends with them. And that is, that's cool.
Ryan, I don't even know what to say. You already made me over the moon when you mentioned my wife, because she's the most important person in our house.
Amazing teacher. Easy job. Not an easy job, but an amazing, amazing teacher. And I'm glad that one of my daughters got to have her as their teacher.
Well, she's enjoying retirement. We have a grandbaby now, so I think she definitely misses teaching. But Ryan, appreciate it, man. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, Marty. Appreciate it, man.
Thank you, Ryan.
Thank you for listening to this episode of The Grow Show. Be sure to subscribe so you never miss an episode, and head to growgroupinc.com for more information and resources to grow your landscaping business. A special thanks to the folks at Steel, whose support makes this podcast possible and whose reliable handheld power equipment makes our jobs easier daily. We'll talk to you next week.